lives in space. Man lives in space. What you doing out there, man?
That's pretty freaky, Barry.
Ooh, Barry.
Is it cold out in space, Barry? You can borrow my jumper if you like, Barry. Do you have one really funky sequined spacesuit, Barry? Or do you have several changes? Ooh.
Receiving transmission from David Bowie.
Do you read me, Lieutenant Bowie?
Welcome, everybody, to episode 244 of the Metabolist 2 podcast, which features David.
And Ben. And Ben, what are we doing today?
We are going to look at the two trailers that have been released in the last couple of months for season one of Disney's Doctor Who. And we're going to take a close look at them and see what we can extract in terms of what
glean from them.
And also, I'm now back from my home country of the United Kingdom. And I, as well as going to see, as listeners to the last podcast will remember, I went to see an absolutely superb exhibition at the Western Museum in Weston-super-Mare of Doctor Who art. But I was also able to go to Gunnersbury Museum in West London to see their FX exhibition, which included a lot of Doctor Who material. So, yes.
How was that?
That was pretty cool. It was interesting. The show at Western, which for our listener is actually going to open in Taunton as well. So if you like the West of England,
another chance to see
it. Yeah, if you can get to the West of England, Taunton is further west than Weston-super-Mare, confusingly, but definitely worth seeing. The Gunnersbury one is up until October. It's sort of based around the concept, loosely based around the concept of the west of London being a kind of hotbed of BBC and film effects work, which it kind of is. You know, you move like further west, you go to, you know, Pinewood and Shepperton.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
all
yeah.
those famous film studios and, you know, all the guys and girls who did the work, you know, lived in West London. So that's the kind of envelope for the show. It's spread throughout the museum, which is fine. I kind of prefer things to be in one particular gallery rather than kind of smeared through the entire museum, but they have a lot of permanent collection on show. It is one of those museums that is basically geared solely for school groups and children. So there's a lot of interactivity, and I was momentarily irritated by, you know, having things in the way, so I couldn't look at things closely enough. But I mean, it's pretty good. They've got some great stuff. They have a Vok robot. They have the original Marvin the Paranoid Android
from Space Cookies.
From Hitchhikers, if you like that kind of thing. They have a bunch of guns from, you know, various episodes of Doctor Who. They have a Federation trooper weapon from Blake 7. They have some really nice set designs, which I think are from Paul Scoones. Can't remember.
No, Paul Scoones is a New Zealander who does the...
He's a New Zealander, yeah. It's someone comics. Else. He's the comics guy. I can't remember. Anyway, so I don't know who collected these, but these are sets designs for The Mutants.
Really?
Which is a kind of slightly left field thing to have, since The Mutants is not exactly the most celebrated of all Doctor Who shows. But it's great to see set designs from the, you know, early 1970s.
Yeah.
And it's a full suite of designs for the Sky Base, and the Marshall's quarters and the lab and blah, blah, blah. So that was pretty cool. There were also some really amazing concept art and storyboards for the effect sequences for The Invisible Enemy.
Contact has been made,
which is, again, slightly left field, but absolutely beautifully drawn. Of course, it was a while ago now, so I'm blanking on who did that FX work. But, you know, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you probably know that already. But those are very worth seeing. The downside of that is there was a big table in front of those with kind of a build-your-own TARDIS kind of kid stuff. So I couldn't actually get close enough to them without climbing on top of the table to really look at them closely. But they look to be in great shape and really cool. As well as that kind of stuff, I mean, there's your kind of usual collection of props. They had a tripod from the Tripods.
Right.
From John Christopher's The Tripods. They had a full size, they had a Dalek. Looked like an original Dalek from either Resurrection or Remembrance. The white and gold. White and gold 80s Dalek. Not my favorite kind of Dalek, but nice to see. And I think, again, I think it's an original prop.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the first Doctor's Astrakhan hat and ring.
Wow.
Which was exciting. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the actual hat worn by William Hartnell, and the, you know, the magic ring that the Doctor has that presumably was going to do things and then actually ended up not really being a thing.
Right.
But still, it's super cool to see that. They had the little Dalek corridor from Power of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in the kind of factory that was remade for the recent animation. So that was there. And it's worth saying it's free.
Yep.
It's in totally in Gunnersbury Park. You can walk there from South Ealing pretty easily through the park, which is a nice walk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like BBC effects from the 1970s and 80s, it's probably worth seeing. Some of the captions are not what I would deem to be fully accurate.
Hmm.
They talk about the... So, obviously, I'm a little bit of an expert now on the Vok heads.
Yes.
From Robots of Death. And they don't reference Rose Gerard at all, who was the artist who designed those original props. They talk.
Do they attribute it to someone else, or they just skirt over it?
No, they talk about the costume designer and her work in, you know, developing the costumes of the Vox, and Super Vox and Dums, I guess. But in the caption for the head, they reference the costume designer as the person who designed that head.
Mm.
And of course, as certainly as I know, because I've researched it, those were designed by Rose Gerard, who was a bona fide sculptor and an artist. So that is my only criticism, other than the fact, you know, as I said, it's a kids' museum, and I was there during the Easter holidays, and there were a bunch of kids.
Nuts.
There were a bunch of kids running around.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're there during term time, there's a bunch of kids who are in school running around. So just be warned about that. But yeah, well worth seeing and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of frustrates me a little bit when I see these shows, because there's so much amazing material that could be in these exhibitions and sort of isn't.
Right.
But, you know, that's fine. It's just good to see that people are keeping things. And, you know, when the BBC effects department sort of closed down, obviously someone, you know, scooped up a bunch of stuff in their arms and ran off with it.
Because,
you know.
What percentage of the exhibits focused in on Doctor Who? Would it be, you know, about 20%?
No, it's probably about 70% Who.
Wow, okay.
70% okay. Who, you got Hitchhikers, you got Tripods, you got Blake 7, and that's pretty much it in terms of what they have. I'm actually just looking at my, very well prepared, of course, I'm looking at my phone, which I've got all the photographs from the show on. But yeah, they have a Davros head.
Did you put any of these up on Insta?
I did, yes.
Okay.
So if you look on my Instagram, you'll be able to see some of these. I'm not sure I put the hat and ring up there, but I definitely put up the storyboards, which I thought were absolutely amazing.
Very good.
Here. So fiberglass mask, I actually took a picture of the label. Fiberglass mask, 1977. Vox mask from the 14th season of Doctor Who. Vox spelt wrong. It's V-O-X, it's actually V-O-C.
Yep.
Starring Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor. This 1930s-style mask was designed by Elizabeth Waller, BBC costume designer and Ealing resident. So basically it's all people who lived in Ealing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was designed by Rose Gerard. Elizabeth Waller was the costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a nerdy accuracy there, I think.
That's why you need to travel with Post-it notes to fix captions.
Fix captions when they get it wrong. Mike Tucker, that's who I was trying to think of. A lot of this stuff is from Mike Tucker.
Yeah.
And I think the storyboards, Mike Tucker, I think he did them. I can't remember who did the designs for the mutants, but they're from Mike's collection.
So this is pretty much Mike Tucker's collection.
Yeah, that's kind
of... Or select elements of it.
Yeah, that's the impression I kind of got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, as I said, I think when they closed down the actual BBC effects department, I think he just grabbed a bunch of stuff, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was headed for the dumpster, so...
It was heading for the dumpster, yep. So, we've lost a huge amount of material, but thanks to Mike, we've actually... I'm just looking at these storyboards. They're just so gorgeous, really beautifully painted, and I'd love those.
Yeah, if there's enough of them, it'd be really nice to have a collected in a book, you know, kind of a
coffee table book.
Coffee
table, Doctor Who effects work, coffee table book. Yep, sign me up, basically. Sign me up.
The Mike Tucker collection. Yeah,
so Mike Tucker collection. So this show is, as I said, it's on until October, Gunnersbury Park Museum, West London. Get there very easily on the tube. If you're lucky, if you pick the right tube, I think it's Gunnersbury Tube, you get to walk past the North Korean embassy.
which
is basically a house with a fence around it. It's in a suburban street. It's just like another house that's mm-hmm. in that street. And that's where the North Koreans live, so that's kind of fun.
And I hear they have Marco Polo, too, in their vaults.
Absolutely. I hear it's Kim Jong-un's favorite.
Yep.
Favorite. He watches it basically on a loop in his lair. His underground evil lair that he has. There you go. That is my final UK exhibition report. But yeah, definitely worth catching if you are in the area.
Excellent. Well, hopefully our listener will check it out.
I hope they will. They are people of wealth and taste.
Shall we crack on? Shall we?
Why not? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Should we run through the story titles first that were announced? RTD and BBC announced them.
Yeah, so I just read them out and then we can go through them one by one.
Sure, let's read it out. Director and writer.
Number one, we have Space Babies.
All right.
Written by Russell T. Davis and directed by Julie Ann Robinson.
So this strikes me as pretty classic opener RTD fare. It's going to be light and none too serious.
Yeah, Space Babies. One of the trailers has some babies in space.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the babies are under threat. Who knows?
Babies under siege.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a whole new genre.
And I think Ruby and the Doctor save them from whatever threat they're under. Maybe it's like 101 Dalmatians. Maybe someone's going to skin the babies and make them into a hat.
Yeah. Yep. Well.
We've already had babies. Actually, thinking about skinned babies, there was a baby under threat at Christmas as well with the goblins. So I wonder if there's a link with the Christmas with your babies.
Maybe they're goblins in space, hoarding space babies.
Babies under siege. So that's Space Babies. The next one, episode 2, they're both released on the 11th of May, it says here. So that's cool. So we get a double release.
Oh, boy. We're going to be busy.
On the 10th / 11th of May. The Devil's Chord, again, written by Russell T. Davis and with Ben Chessel as the director.
So I'm guessing this is the musical one with the actor who's playing the villain, Jinx Monsoon.
Yep.
And I'm guessing this is the 60s one, too?
With the Beatles? Yeah, I'm going to say that's... when we go through the trailers, there's several excerpts where the Doctor is his kind of Tommy Nutter outfit and is singing a song. So I think that's the musical one. I'm curious. I think the Jinx Monsoon character is called the Maestro.
Okay.
Which fits in with Time Lord nomenclature.
Yes, there it does.
So I'm wondering whether Jinx Monsoon is playing a Time Lord, a renegade Time Lord of some kind.
Well, we always good for a new renegade Time Lord or a Time Lord in general. So
exactly.
Jinx is the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a new renegade Time Lord. It could be she could be the master or mistress or maestro or whatever the master is up to nowadays. Definitely something musical there.
Yeah, my guess is the Beatles are entirely just a pre-credit sequence.
Oh, God, yeah, no, absolutely. Boom is the next one.
Boom.
Julie Ann Robinson's director, written by Stephen Moffat.
Mr. Clever returns.
Yeah, so there'll be something twisty. There'll be an object like a crack or a brick or...
A
boom town.
Or maybe seeds of boom.
It's the seeds of boom. Don't know what's happening on that one. It could be anything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, 25th of May, 73 yards.
So this is obviously a kind of a garage sale sort of thing, an estate sale. 73 estate sales.
73 yards,
written by RTD and directed by Dylan Holmes Williams.
Dylan Holmes Williams. Yeah, again, I'm trying to find out which I'm interested in which one is the kind of Bridgerton episode.
I was thinking Rogue, which would be the one after that.
Well, and I think that could be Dot and Bubble, which is the next one.
We will see.
Rogue. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the next one, the 1st of June, Dot and Bubble, again directed by Dylan Holmes Williams, and again written by Russell T. Davis.
That comes out on the 1st of June.
1st yep. of June, yes. Next one is Rogue, directed again by Ben Chessel, written by Kate Herron and Briony Redman, who are deeply involved with writing Loki, I believe, at the moment for... what's Loki on? Is that Disney or is that...
Yeah, it's Disney. Disney Apple? Plus.
Is that Disney? Yeah, of course it's Disney because it's... Yeah,
Loki,
it's
Marvel, yeah.
Marvel, yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering whether those guys are being set up for kind of, you know, showrunners of who, if in the future...
Perhaps, but I think Kate Herron just got really busy with some kind of movie deal, and she—that's going to be like 3-4 years. So,
okay, well,
I mean, yeah, because yeah, Herron and Redman are going to do the Sims video game movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome. Because The Sims is just like everyday life, only they're in a computer.
Turning down Doctor Who for The Sims.
For The Sims. Well,
yeah, well, you know, I
guess it follows the money. You follow the money, don't you?
Yep.
Looking at she's English, though. I didn't realize Kate Herron is English. I'm looking at her Wikipedia entry here. She was at the University for Creative Arts in Farnham, which is very near where I grew up. Oh. Farnham is a lovely little town in the south of England. But she grew up near Thamesmead, The Sims. Well, yeah, good luck on that one. That's going to be crap. Anyway.
We just need to have it paired up with the sequel to Oppenheimer.
There you go. Simmenheimer. Okay, the next one is Legend of Ruby Sunday, directed by Jamie Donahue, written by Russell T. Davis, and that's on the 15th of June. So that's obviously going to be, I think we've got a two-parter. I'm going to say, for the final, both directed by Jamie Donahue, the finale, episode 8, is Empire of Death. That sounds pretty finale-y. Again, written by Russell T. Davis. And I think we're just going to find out what the deal is with Ruby Sunday, who...
is obviously Death.
Obviously Death. Well, we're going to find out who Angie from EastEnders is playing and, you know, all that kind of good
she's
stuff.
She's one of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
There you go. Exactly. So Brian May's going to come on with his guitar. And she's married to Brian May. That's a bit of trivia there, which I'm sure you all knew. And so those are our episodes.
Okay.
Curious. Curious to see what's going to happen.
Intriguing titles, I think, all in all.
Yeah, I don't like space babies that much. It's a little bit too, like, it's about some babies in space. But, I mean, prove me wrong. Yeah. It could be amazing.
I rank that up there with kind of titles I don't like Let's Kill Hitler. It's one of those...
Right. Boomtown.
Yeah, well, Boomtown's even okay, but Boom... Now we've left out the town.
It's just Boom.
What's
in general.
Up with that?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows?
This is Stephen Moffat, so obviously this is going to be, you know, how you take something familiar and make it really creepy. This is going to be about like doors slamming and sounds.
Boom. Maybe it'll be like a balloon. Frightening balloons, yeah.
Or maybe it's like a boom shadow, like on a mic, you know, like with
boom shadow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah, go back to classic Who. I'm kind of surprised he's back, actually. I had sort of assumed that he was sort of done with Who, but no, he's back. And hopefully, given that he's not showrunning this time, definitely there was a fall-off in quality of his writing towards the...
At least with the very last one he wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so I think I have it. It's the Weeping Boom Mics.
Weeping Boom Mics. There you go. Ugh, yuck. That kind of dripping liquid on everyone. Cool. All right, so there we go. Those are our titles.
All right, so let's play the first trailer here and see how... The scenes, the 2 minutes of activity, coalesce around which story is which.
Yeah. New official Doctor Who Season 1 trailer, BBC. That one.
Yeah.
Let's go for that one. All right.
All right.
Give me the loving!
Where did he come come from?
I don't know, he sort of popped up at the right moment. And then he spoke about time travel.
Ruby,
you want to know my secret?
I have the whole universe at my fingertips.
And I'm all on my own. I'd love it if you came with me.
Who are you?
I'm the Doctor.
Time may change me!
It's called the TARDIS. It's a time and space machine.
Is it safe?
No idea.
What if I change history by stepping on a butterfly?
Well, that's not gonna happen, is it?
Oh!
What's wrong?
With all my adventures, never seen anything like this before.
Oh my, Bridgerton! This place is completely mad.
Things seem to be turning more and more supernatural.
Is that monster?
No, don't be silly. There's no such thing as monsters. It's just creatures you haven't met yet. There are powers beyond the universe, so vast. Could slide into the pit. This is what we're trying to stop.
I'm still her mom. I need to know she'll be okay. You'll keep her safe?
I will keep her safe. I promise.
It's taken me all this time to change it. To realize what I'm here to do. I'm gonna save the world. To change
it. Everything is possible. Everything is possible.
Time may change me. But I can't trace time.
So, this was interesting. So I pulled all this. So we have the Doctor 60s outfit. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Doctor in his Bridgerton outfit with a hologram of the... What I'm going to say
Tennant.
Is the fourth of Tennant. Could be the 14th Doctor, could be the 10th Doctor. But in between those two shots, he's kind of dressed like a monk.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether there's a monk episode somewhere.
Well, it's the callback to Ruby Road, where there is a hooded person kind of in a monk outfit that left Ruby.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. Wow. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, let's keep on going. The TARDIS loses gravity for some reason.
Loses Mavity.
Oh, Mavity. Exactly. Flying through the vortex. And it's dinosaurs. She's going to step on a butterfly a la Ray Bradbury. This I thought this was a nice little sequence. I'm sure, again, this is a pre-credit sequence.
I think this is mostly a collection of pre-credit sequences.
Right,
here.
Right.
Is it Bowie singing or is it a cover?
It's hard to tell. I suspect it's a cover. I think they've got a Bowie singer like to do it.
And yeah. So Unit's back.
Yep, definitely.
In force.
Yeah, so, I mean, the dinosaurs, what do we reckon? We think that's definitely pre-credits.
Pre-credit sequence.
Right. Right.
You know, obviously referencing Ray Bradbury's 1952 story, A Sound of Thunder.
Right.
I do not expect Ruby to be kind of reptilian skin with blonde hair and antennas and wood scale clothes for very long, if at all.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, as much as there will be a continuity in this, I think one of the things we're kind of setting up a little bit is that, you know, time can be changed.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the kind of Ray Bradbury step on a butterfly and the future changes, you can just change that back again. So it's kind of a little bit changing the rules of Doctor Who, I think.
Bit malleable. Yeah.
Yeah, or more obviously doing something that is going to have to be changed. So we'll see where that takes them, basically. We'll see where that takes them.
Now, do you think that has something to do with Wild Blue Yonder, where the toy maker gets back in?
Yeah, could be, maybe.
And
yeah.
How Kate Stewart was saying in the trailer, things seem to be turning more and more supernatural.
Yeah, yeah, could be, like magic comes back into the world sort of thing. Yeah, could be. Yep.
And the Bridgerton people morph into bird people.
Yes, they do, which is exciting to see. I mean, bird people a bit like Perry turned into, right? Perry turned into a bird for a while.
With the episodes of Syl, with Vengeance on Varos, I think.
Vengeance of Varos, yeah. So yeah. We'll see about that. And Bridgerton is good. I am interested to see how, obviously, I'm very pleased that the Doctor is changing their clothes on a regular basis.
Yes.
I like that. He's also changing his hair as well. And I'm curious to see how they're going to explain away the fact that he can just make his hair grow or not grow, depending on what costume he's wearing.
I'm guessing kind of a sonic hair dryer inside the TARDIS.
Hair. Yep. Yeah, could be. We'll see. We will see.
Now, do you think RTD is dating this, putting this too close by several references to Bridgerton into the canonicity of Doctor Who?
Well, I mean, he's always done that. I mean, if we go back to series one or whatever we're calling it now, you know, we have Big Brother, we have, you know, What Not to Wear with Trini and Susanna. No one has heard of Trini and Susanna anymore, but we have those two androids, which we're supposed to recognize immediately.
Yeah.
Anne Robinson, I think, has died. Has Anne Robinson died? Anyway, she's certainly not doing The Weakest Link anymore.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, I think RTD loves, he loves television so much, and he loves putting in television references, and he's always going to put in what he is currently enjoying and feels to be successful. So, you know, he's obviously having a good time watching Bridgerton. So we have a Bridgerton reference. It's nice to see Doctor Who go back to the Regency period. It's, I think it's a, you know, it's a nice historical reference. And
were the last time we were there with Thin Ice?
Was that Regency though? I think that was, that was more Victorian, right? That was more kind of mid.
No, Frost Fairs was like 1811, 1812, okay. Right? So it has to be.
All right. Right? Okay. So, all right. So we are in that same period. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't. I mean, again, you know, we, whether we want to touch on the role or the presence slash non-presence role slash non-role of black people in.
Well, if you're doing Bridgerton, you
don't have to do that.
It's an alternative history. So that could be why.
Yep.
Otherwise, you got to go punch the Regency racist a la Thin Ice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yes, again, I certainly can see Russell T. Davis just kind of hand-waving that way and going like, we're in Bridgerton land, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is not supposed to be ahistorical. It's Doctor Who, and it can be what it likes. As much as I think, you know, that's kind of been signaled by the whole Mavity thing, and having Isaac Newton being played by someone who literally doesn't look like Isaac Newton, which is fine because it's a fantasy show.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, these are not real. We're not.
This,
you know,
is not,
this
a,
not a right. documentary, docudrama about Isaac Newton. It's a show about a man and a woman flying around the universe in a blue box. So, anyway.
Or it could be, because it is a time travel show and multiple universes, infinite parallels. And
multiverse. Well, again, I mean, I think we have people who've written for Loki on, you know, writing on the show, you know, and Loki, I think famously, it's a multiverse, the Marvel multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Right. And then we move on a bit more. So there's some dancing. We've got Jinx Monsoon, who's throwing some...
throwing some notes, some mad notes.
Throwing some notes around, bad notes.
That's a kind of a interesting technique. We're getting the staff, musical staffs, to entangle poor Ruby.
Entangle, and there's a drum exploding.
Well, it's a face pointing out. It's like someone's caught underneath the bass drum or timpani head and is being pushed up.
Oh, it is a face. Oh, God, yeah, you're right.
That's pretty gross, isn't it?
that's pretty gross, okay, now I stopped. So when the glass explodes, I actually stopped that.
That's a 1960s episode, I'm guessing.
Well,
that's probably the Devil's Court, I'm guessing.
It could be, but if you look at the newspaper, it says Khrushchev threatens Finland. Now, if that's a reference to the Note crisis, when Khrushchev threatened Finland, that was in 1961. Which is really too early for the Beatles to be in Abbey Road. So I don't know whether this is a deliberate continuity error or an accidental continuity error, or they don't really care that actually Khrushchev was threatening Finland in the early 60s, not in the mid to late 60s. Who knows? But yeah, I deliberately paused that and did some Googling and found out when the Russians were really threatening Finland.
I guess we'll find out if this is one of these clues that Moffat would slip in there that seemed to be out of place but then makes sense at the end, or if it's just a continuity error.
Yeah, it's funny to have an error like, I mean, you know, it's a super minor error, but to have it in a trailer, I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but is the newspaper really that strategically placed that we should be looking at the newspapers? Because I was looking at the...
possibly not.
I was looking at the reel-to-reel boxes more than the newspapers.
Right, the EMI rolls. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's keep on going. There's a pointing monk.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that, because earlier we see the doctor with the hood, the monk hood, and I'm just wondering if, could that be the doctor?
It could be the doctor.
I mean, due to the grading of the picture.
I mean, freezing the frame, it looks like there's snow on the ground, and it also looks like there's Christmas decorations up. So I think you're right. I think this is something to do with the person who left
Ruby
outside the church. It's hard to see with the grading what the color of the skin is. So.
Ooh, maybe she's a space baby. Maybe that's
the
where
whole
Ruby
thing
comes
is,
from.
But built around the concept of babies. That's marvelous. Okay, so they're frightened. They're in a corridor.
Now, do you think that corridor is the Space Babies episode with the monster?
It could be, because he's wearing the same sweater as he's wearing when he kind of like, welcome to the TARDIS, blah, blah, blah. It could be that. I think the babies have been kidnapped by monsters, and we have to save them.
Space goblins.
Space goblins, exactly. Not just regular goblins, but goblins from space.
Everything's more serious when you add space in front of it.
Yeah, is that a... I thought that was a Dalek originally, but I think it's a monster. There it goes.
So no Daleks that I've seen at all. So Daleks at Christmas?
Could be. I mean, there will be Daleks, and I think I've read something about Shooty saying that, you know, he'll be very depressed if he doesn't get to fight Daleks. So Daleks are going to be in there. Daleks are always.
Do you think you would give the first series of Gatwa on Disney a rest of Daleks, not have Daleks at all? Or do you think RTD's playing the long game, keeping the Daleks? They're not in the title. That's a bit of a departure.
That is a departure.
For as a surprise villain.
Surprise, maybe end of season, because finale villain, you know, leading us into the next season. I think the Daleks are hard to play because obviously, unless you know them quite well, they can be a bit not that good. You know, how you play Daleks on Disney Plus, I don't know. But I trust RTD to give us a good episode.
I wonder, though, if Daleks are going to appear at all, because with the Star Beast and the Toy Maker all referencing a big bad, I'm wondering, that big bad can't be the Daleks. I don't think the big Daleks would be in charge of someone like the Toymaker.
No. The Daleks are an in-universe threat. The Toymaker is one of those kind of extra celestial beings of some kind, yeah.
So if the reference a little bit later on with the pit, after we see the, you know, City of London destroyed, the Thames run dry, do you think that's the Beast returning?
Could be.
Because we had the mention of the devil.
That's
earlier.
True. Could be. I don't know. Well, first London is destroyed in a kind of 9/11 style cloud of dust.
Right. And it's the 60s.
Is it?
Yeah, because you see Ruby and the Doctor in their 60s gear looking over the ruined city.
But the sequence of the smoke going through the streets of London, those are all contemporary cars.
Maybe it's
they're definitely in London because they've got British number plates, I mean license plates. So we'll see. So vault opening, that's where, I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who's very small is in it, because I can see him in his little traveling device.
Oh yeah, and there's Rose Noble,
right,
and Kate Stewart there too.
Oh yeah, okay, so that's a unit one.
Yep.
Then we're in space. Okay, so this Ruins of London, this is interesting. She's in her 60s gear, absolutely right. What we're seeing is not actually London, because if you're standing, boringly, if you're standing on the embankment near Lambeth Palace, looking over the river to the Houses of Parliament, you would not be able to see Tower Bridge or St. Paul's.
Okay, so maybe this is the Crawls.
So, I mean, I think the cynical and sad answer to that is this is Disney Plus London, where if you have London, you have to have all the London landmarks on it, and it doesn't really matter that those landmarks don't match up because nobody really cares that much because everyone's American. Or a nicer and more pleasing explanation is one you've just given, that it's some kind of in-universe London simulacrum, which I guess it is. I mean, it's a destroyed London in the 1960s, so...
It's the Crawls, and it's kind of the sequel to the Android Invasion. I mean, they're long due back.
Could be. I mean, actually, what it looks like is it looks like the Thames TV ident from the 1970s is what it looks like. Yeah. So, that was irritating to me. It's like, that's not London. That's Disney London. You know, there's a raccoon doing something. I think this is a Pyramids of Mars style go into the future or the past, because that bus is definitely not a contemporary bus. So the bus to the I guess it would be to the right of the Doctor, to his right. That is not a bus from contemporary London. That is a number 77, I think, and that is a Routemaster bus, which no longer runs in Britain. They pulled Routemasters out of London about 15 years ago or so. So, again, either we're looking at a Disney London where they've got, oh, no, we need the old-style buses because it's like Disney, or we are looking at a destroyed 1960s London. So anyway, so that's me being boring about buses.
So if they're trying to destroy a bus, it could be a bus that they can get
a
cheap.
Bus they can get hold of?
Yeah.
Yes, that's also, I mean, it's a...
It's, but it's, it looks more CGI from the brief glance that we got it, than anything else.
It does look more like CGI, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know why they'd bother to do a CGI bus of the wrong kind. Anyway, so that's just me looking at buses. So we're back in the flat again.
Yeah, what do you make of the... It seems to be heavy-handed foreshadowing a la Bill Potts of can you keep her safe? And
right, right.
Whenever the Doctor promises to keep someone safe, it doesn't seem to go very well.
It always goes wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see. Caught up in some notes there. The Maestro is doing their evil work.
You like the name Maestro?
I do like the name Maestro. As I said, it fits with the whole, you know, Missy, Master, Mistress, Doctor, the whole time Renegade Time Lord naming protocol. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
Does your question imply that you're not okay with that?
I'm just curious. It doesn't strike me one way or another.
It's not very scary, certainly. It's not.
Yeah.
A Maestro is not a scary person.
In series 10, we had the landlord who David Suchet played.
Right.
And wasn't a Time Lord at all.
That is true.
I was kind of disappointed by that, but so.
Yeah, I mean, though I have to say, the landlord would be like a very, very lame Time Lord name.
TARDIS would be a pub.
I'm the landlord. Oh, that's I'm glad you've got ambitions there. You're not a warlord or a time lord or a master. You're just like the guy who runs the pub. Nice one. All right, so, okay, we carry on. Screen's gone black. We're underground. We're in some kind of basement with chains.
In the 60s again. There's a lot coming out
the
of
60s
the...
60s episode, yeah. But, I mean, I think you're right, though. I think that whole, all that Beatles stuff is all pre-credit. They then fly around a bit dressed up like they're in the 60s, and then some kind of musical episode happens. That's what I think is going on. Oh, so there's so there's a quick succession of different kinds of rubies.
Yeah, looking pensive outside in a cabin, long hair, glasses, holding up champagne.
Yeah.
Bridgerton throwing a book.
Yeah, so again, I mean, I think there's a multiverse here going on. So she's throwing a book, but then that actually it's also there's something going through the of a music booth.
Looks like a bowling ball.
A bowling ball, yeah, going through the observation window of the Abbey Road recording studio. It is a mixing desk. And then the Doctor falling in the Goblin's... That is the shot from the Goblin's spaceship, right?
I agree, yeah.
Because he's wearing his Christmas costume.
Yeah, it's recycled for the sake of this teaser.
So, again, I don't think they're expecting anyone to watch it quite... Well, they are, but, you know, anyway. The Goblins are not back, I don't think.
Yeah.
And then she's
Ruby in the Snow.
Ruby in the snow, Ruby in some weird planet with some flying things that are spraying dust all over the place.
Looks like crop dusting domes. Well, maybe that's where all the dust comes from in the
could
city.
Could be. Flying. And then we're on the back of the scooter. This is contemporary London. This is a unit episode. And there's Mel.
Yep.
And then we've got the sweater that he's wearing in kind of the first episode is back.
Oh, that's rehash of Ruby Road scenes here.
Yep, definitely Ruby Road scenes there. Bridgerton. When you can change.
Dancing and umbrellas.
Then we have dancing. This is, again, we're in the 60s, musical episode. Everyone's dressed like Dodo or Susan because it's the 60s.
It's fab.
It is fab. It's gear. It's groovy. They've all got those big floppy hats on.
So sprinkler systems going off, fire umbrellas or whatever.
Yeah.
In the hallway?
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, I don't think someone is, no one is going to call in to prove me wrong because, you know, we only have a certain number of listeners. I don't think they had sprinkler systems like that in the 60s in Britain.
Yep.
I don't think you could set off the sprinklers. I don't think there were sprinklers. So I think that is a little bit of an anachronism. But if it's a musical episode and we've got, you know, young ladies jumping around dressed as Susan Foreman singing a song, then, you know, anything goes, basically. Everything is possible. When you can change time, everything is possible.
So let's see. You got the boy line, time may change me, but I can't trace time. So
right.
You think RTD is leaning heavily onto that lyric?
Yeah, he's, as everyone, is inspired by David Bowie. So there you go.
It's been, what, 8 years since he passed, I think, about?
Bowie was the beginning of 2016, yeah.
Yeah,
Everyone dying in 2016 thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have the 14th Doctor's TARDIS, right?
Is it the 14th? I think it's probably Gatwa's TARDIS, looking old, as if it's been there for a while.
But I'm thinking, is it not by the sea in the same kind of place as 14 regenerated, though?
Yeah, but didn't he take his TARDIS to south of France or whatever, living with the nobles?
Oh, he did. That's true. Anyway, so this is a left-alone TARDIS. Obviously, it's been there for a while, and people have been leaving flowers and things outside it.
Or it's just been there for a long time that it's just grown up.
I think those are bunches of flowers, though, aren't they? Those are bouquets.
Is it?
If you look carefully.
I thought it was just turf kind of grown up around it.
No, I think it's people leaving things and like, you know, we love this TARDIS so much. That's what I think's going on. So that's a mystery.
Sequel to the Ghost Monument.
There you go. The scarves are back. And then we have a quick bim, bim, bim of shots.
Floodlights, Kate earnest.
Stewart looking pensive. Mel looking like
worried.
She's worried, driving a moped. Doctor doing a wink and in his 60s outfit. And bam, logo.
Yep. Don't forget to subscribe to the official Doctor Who YouTube channel.
Exactly. So there you go. That's trailer number one, right?
Mm-hmm. Takeaways from that one.
Bowie. That song about time may change me, but I can't change time. But this is the opposite. The Doctor can change time.
I am guessing that it's about a two-minute trailer. I'm thinking we have at least 20 seconds of rehash clips from Church on Ruby Road. Probably a minute's worth of various pre-title sequences, and then maybe 30 seconds of actual footage from episodes.
Yeah, I think you're right. So next trailer then, right?
Yeah.
Go.
Play.
You ready for this?
Give me the loving!
Now, stay back!
We are going to rock through time.
Oh, this is so Bridgerton.
This is Ruby.
You are wild, brave, and rude.
Nothing!
No, you made it worse.
Where shall we go? Anywhere!
It's you!
Space baby!
Oh, is it the universe, man?
Let's have a random landing.
Is it safe?
Listen to me. This is what we're trying to stop.
All of life extinguished.
You keep us safe?
I will keep us safe.
Come on!
We've got work to do.
There's a storm coming in.
You called.
Honey, I'm a much bigger bang than you bargained for.
I will shatter this silly little battlefield into dust. In a heartbeat, into dust.
I don't have a people, I don't have a home, but I have freedom.
Catching monsters, getting into scrapes. So I keep moving on. To see the next thing. And the next, and the next. Have you ever felt so alive? And that's just the beginning.
Huh, right, there you go.
A little different theme one, no Bowie this time.
No Bowie. Basically the same shots, just in different orders.
Basically, although we get some new things. The giving the loving, the other end of that is he's talking to Rose Noble at UNIT there, and they embrace there at the end.
And there's a new character, right, that he's lifting up in the air. Who's that? I don't think I know that.
That's Rose Noble.
Oh, is it? Is that really? Let me hang on.
Yeah.
Let me take another look. I didn't recognize that at all. Let me just Oh, yeah, okay, yep. No, you're right.
And then we have Carla at unit there with Ruby kind of comforting her, holding her close.
Right. Yeah, so they've all gone to unit for some reason.
And then we got a big city under a glass dome.
Glass dome city, like a space city. I think that's pre-credits.
You think that's pre-credits? Or
yeah.
I'm wondering if that's linked to the dinosaur one.
No, it could be. Oh, you mean we're like back in time?
Because it's a bubble, dot and bubble.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's true. It is a bubble, yeah. A dot and a bubble.
And then we see the doctor peeking out from his TARDIS on that cliff, and he's wearing kind of a pullover or a raincoat or something, big yellow something.
Right, yeah.
So isn't that his TARDIS on the cliff?
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's new in this
yeah.
sequence.
So it's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't know. Okay, yep, mm-hmm.
Some 60s grooving by the doctor.
60s grooving. We're in the booth again with all the girls.
Yep.
And then we're Bridgertoning again.
We've got that big space window
yeah.
opening up. It kind of reminded me of the end of time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was reminding me of. Yeah, interesting. And then we're on Abbey Road, crossing the pavement,
yep.
as all tourists have to do when they come to London. Again, I hope they've got the timing right, because they were already in Abbey Road in 1961. And then we're...
Space babies.
Then it's space babies. There they are. They're babies. They're from space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they live on some kind of space station,
mm-hmm.
by the looks of things. And he's got that sweater on from the first episode, so I think this is all first episode stuff. Mm-hmm. Space babies.
What about that 60s woman with kind of the computer printout screen around her? Android again.
You think she's an android?
Crawls.
Oh, you really think the crawls? Well, I mean, he loves his animals that are space, that are from space, and Krals are basically rhinoceroses, so maybe yeah. the Krals are back. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but he already did them with the Jadoon.
That's true. But, I mean, again, you could link in the Krals to the Jadoon.
I suppose.
If you really wanted to be boring. If you really wanted to put everyone off and make sure nobody watched the show, you could do that.
You know what this trailer is reminding me of? Is Eccleston's first trailer, where he did the voiceover, "You want to come with me?" And he's running down the big corridor with the fire coming after him.
Okay.
I think the doctor's, a lot of the doctor's narrative around this, the beginning and the end of this, is kind of linking like Eccleston with that first series. It almost feels like this trailer is a relaunch of an entire franchise.
But I mean, I think it is. I mean, I think,
fair enough.
You know, I think that's what, in some ways, is what they're doing. Is this is now Disney Plus. It's now a fully international show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have an opening episode, opening trailers that are really setting out what the rules are for this universe and the kind of fun that we're going to have. So,
catching monsters, getting into scrapes, and moving
yeah,
on.
Changing time, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. And then what else do we have?
The doctor shedding a tear, Ruby stunned, and doctor shedding a tear right after Carla asking, "You keep her safe?" And the doctor saying, "I will keep her safe."
Yeah. And then we have Jinx Monsoon coming out of a piano.
Looking for a storm. Yep.
Looking for a storm.
And then the doctor saying something about he's a bigger bang than he bargained for, and turning the battlefield into dust in a heartbeat.
Yeah. That all sounds a bit doomy.
I'm wondering if that's... He's pissed off something happened to Ruby?
Could be, because he's been asked to keep her safe, and he's not able to do that. That's going to make him irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of... It's that one kind of CGI shot overlooking the cliff of the dinosaurs where they had the butterfly.
Yeah.
And there's not enough there to be anything other than pre-credit.
Yeah, they're not going to spend all their money on making dinosaurs. I mean, dinosaurs, we've already had dinosaurs... Dinosaurs have been done in a lot of other shows, so mm-hmm. I think, and then he's back doing dancing, the big dance sequence. Big dance
Bridgerton sequence. Guy holding a gun on the doctor, and he's stepping on some kind of like a landmine. Oh,
like a mine.
There's the butterfly. Butterfly flies off.
So that's good to see. He's wearing a bobble hat on the top of a cliff. And then we're done.
Yeah, not much new in it. I think the big spoiler is the butterfly flying off.
Yeah, changing time.
Yeah,
It's all fine. Those are fun trailers. I think they're engaging. I think people are going to... I think, you know, the kids like them. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I don't think he's giving us a huge amount to go on in terms of what's happening. And I think, you know, he's... RTD is savvy enough with social media and... publicizing the show that there is nothing in those trailers that he has not looked at and decided that that could be released.
Right.
So there's no secrets that only we can glean by watching the trailers on YouTube and then pausing them at various points. Yeah, someone's already done that. It's already been cleaned out.
Yeah. But it is a good trailer. It does build hype, interest. I am interested in seeing... I think I am interested in seeing how the Maestro fits in with this. And I'm surprised we didn't see Neil Patrick Harris in this.
Yeah. I mean, are we expecting him to come back? Or
I was thinking the Toymaker might be back in the final episode again. But I guess that's how... The final, the anniversary year series, the 60th anniversary stories was. So you wouldn't want to, he's not the new master. He's not going to be coming back.
Yeah, but I mean, he's obviously, he's a major figure and things have changed because of him, just like things have changed because of the, you know, the creatures from the edge of the universe who've, you know,
right,
flopped in. How that feeds through to the season, I think only time will tell.
I'm kind of surprised not to see a Meep in there. Two.
Meep. The Meeps are back. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're one and done with Meeps, though, right? Or are you excited to have more Meeps?
You know what would be interesting with the Meeps is go back to their Dark Star planet before they became evil.
Right. And have, like, original Meeps. Yeah, kind of nice
original Meeps. Meeps, a pre-credit sequence.
Yep. With making friends with the Meeps, showing everybody that the Meeps are actually fine.
Yeah, the kids, and then leaning heavily into the Christmas Meep, get your own Meep plushie.
Right, yeah. I mean, this is the problem with the merchandise. The show moves so quickly that it's not enough time. As listeners will know, I follow the merchandise quite closely and a little bit unsure what's happening with stuff like that. Whether B&M will still have the franchise for merchandise or whether they're going to give it to some other store. Kind of up in the air. Mm. Yeah. Don't know what's going to be happening.
What do you make of that monster design? The big maw?
Yeah, it's a big Maury monster. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be hard to put in an action figure. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a generic threat.
Yeah.
I don't think anything there that's kind of unusual or particularly frightening for me as a 57-year-old man. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Something for the kids.
Big monster. It's going, doing its rah thing like monsters do.
Yeah.
Like CGI monsters always do. They always go rah for a bit.
Not seeing a lot of traditional monsters other than that one, I'm thinking.
In the previous trailer before that, there was the things that looked like tractators. There were the tractator creatures.
Was there? I missed that.
Oh, yeah. That's not one of the trailers that we watched this time, but the one the original trailer from Christmas.
Ooh. That could explain all the dust and stuff.
Oh, could be, yeah.
Pulling down buildings.
Oh, well, I really only said tractators to be facetious, but yes, tractators could be back.
Mavity tractators.
Mavity. here we are. We've called it. Tractators are back. It's Mavity, it's Dust. Right, okay, Tractators are back. I wonder which episode the Tractators would be in.
Boom,
of course. They would be.
Stephen Moffat, well-known fan of Tractators.
He loves...
And bringing back 80s monsters.
He loves Tractators. They're literally his favorite thing. Okay, so this is our prediction for the new series of Doctor Who. Tractators are back, and they're a real threat.
This time they mean business.
Exactly. This time it's war, exactly. This time it's personal, Tractators.
All right, well, we'll have to see how Space Babies fares. It's been about a couple weeks by the time this podcast goes out.
Yeah, and then we're straight into Devil's Court. We're going to have our work cut out for us, to be honest.
See how those podcasts roll out of the feed.
We'll just have to see. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Okay, well, there you go, fans of Doctor Who. That's basically our blow-by-blow analysis of the new series trailers.
All right. So thank you for listening to episode 244 of the Metabulous 2 podcast. I guess we've been Zapruder-ing the heck out of the trailers.
Peering from the grassy knoll. Yeah. Only time will tell. Only time will tell whether our tractator predictions are correct.
See ya.
Bye.
Changes. Look out, you rock and rollers. changes. Changes.
You're gonna get a little older. Time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Don't forget to click below to subscribe to the official Doctor Who YouTube channel.